Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, everybody. Our pal David Huntsberger has a new sketch podcast called Intercepts. And I did a voice in one of the sketches. And David was kind enough to share the audio for us to share with you. So stick around at the end of this episode after the closing theme song, which I'm sure you sit through in its entirety every time. Check out a sketch from Intercepts, available wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the show.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, because Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, February 19th, 2023, and we've got two new guests today and one old one that didn't come out right. They are Katie Thurston, Sarah Tiana, and Tony Yacenda. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
I would be the old one.
Oh, well, that's, you know, only in terms of appearances on this program. You are a veteran in that sense and not in many others. But let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with, she was the Bachelorette. Now she's doing stand-up comedy. It's Katie Thurston. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good. I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. When I saw that you were getting into the stand-up comedy game, I was like, I mean, I'd have anybody from the Bachelorette franchise on, but I don't really interact with any of those people. So to, you know that you're in stand-up comedy and to be able to reach out, this worked out great. Do you have, where's your next stand-up gig that you have coming up?
I just finished my latest one here in San Diego. It was sold out at Mic Drop. So it was like, I don't know, like 230 people. So I'm taking a breather for a minute because it was a lot. But give me like one more week and I'm sure I'll have like 3 more shows on the books already.
All right, great. We'll tell people to follow your socials at the end of the show so they can come see you live somewhere.
And
But it's you're feeling encouraged by the process. You're enjoying doing stand up.
Oh, I love it. It's so rewarding. It's such a high. It's challenging for sure, given the route that I'm going, because it's kind of like having a platform. So people watching you bomb here and there. But I enjoy it. It makes life interesting for sure.
Yeah. And it's like every comic, like Sarah, Tiana included, when we do like a special, that material is considered burned, and then you have to start from scratch again anyway in front of people that, you know, that like you and want to see you. So it's you're just doing the process for the first time basically, but everybody has to go through it. You have to, you know, you have to try out jokes that might not work because you haven't tried them yet. And good on you for getting into it, and for, you know, you've done it for a little bit now and haven't abandoned it. So I think it's looking like you may be fully committed, so to speak.
I think I'm sticking around. Yeah.
Speaking of stand up, and I just mentioned her also, my next guest is not only a stand up comic, but also writes for TV shows that are funny and sports themed, and her name is Sarah Tiana. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. What do you do? I kind of thought of calling you for today because we tape on Sunday afternoon, so I wouldn't think to bother you during football season. Mm-hmm. But now that football season's over, does that mean you just have a ton of free time, or you just focus on other sports?
Yeah, I have a lot of free time right now until baseball season starts at the end of March, and then I'll be like, well, I don't have a job lined up for baseball season yet. I'm working on it, but baseball is my number one. But I had two shows during football season this year, and that was a lot, so it's good. Yeah, so now I'm just like twiddling my fingers. Like today was the Daytona 500, and then there's like the finals of the Genesis, which is at Riviera Golf Club here in LA. So I was watching that, but that's not as exciting. Yeah.
You're going to be watching any minute now. You're going to be just sitting around watching cornhole.
I know. It is a rabbit hole. Yeah.
Because that's all over ESPN now. ESPN's just like looking for new sports, basically, because they have so many channels. They got to put.
Well, the World Baseball Classic. Yeah, the World Baseball Classic starting. But yeah. I mean, I would watch. I watch old games on TV, like replays. So it's I'm a real psycho.
You're super into it.
Yeah.
Our third guest today is another newbie. He is the co-creator of American Vandal. And Players, all of season one is currently available on Paramount Plus. Is that right, Tony?
Yeah, Paramount Plus, and you can get it on iTunes as well.
Yes, it's Tony Yacenda. Hey, Tony.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. And, you know, your co-creator, that sounds like, I mean, one of your parents, the co-creator with you, of American Vandal and Players, Dan Peralt, has been on the show a couple of times. Did he, give you any pointers or tips or anything?
No, we haven't talked about it. I've listened to his episodes, and I think he did pretty well considering, you know, who he is as a
You mean because he's not that much of a trivia hound, or his focus isn't necessarily on movies?
Yeah, we both have, we fill each other's gaps. So as soon as you like step out of Marvel, he can drown, and he didn't.
That's so he's Marvel and you're everything else. That's how you guys work.
I'm not everything else. I'm also gonna get my ass kicked today, so.
Well, I know Sarah is very competitive, but I wouldn't put money on anybody specifically today. If you've Agreed. Listened to the show lately, it's anybody can win just by guessing and having the right guess. You don't necessarily need to know everything right off the top of your head. But before we play our games today, I'd like to do something that I call Recommendation Nation. And that's where I ask each one of my guests to recommend a movie for, you know, people to find either in theaters or, on streaming or something. And since tomorrow is President's Day, specifically, and people will be listening to this on President's Day, I thought it'd be fun if everybody recommend one political movie. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, overtly political or super political, but, you know, something that you feel would fall under that category. Because obviously anything about politicians or presidents would qualify. Sarah, do you have...
Yes, Legally Blonde 2. Legally Blonde 2. She goes to Washington.
That's perfect.
I mean, except for maybe Wag the Dog, I think that might be the only political movie that I've seen, unless it's like anything like Jack Ryan or Jack Reacher, which is like still government adjacent.
Yeah, but I love Legally Blonde 2 as a as a recommendation, because it is, as they say, one of those sequels that, you know, is as good, or I wouldn't say better than the original, but, it, you know, it continues the story well. And what's the subtitle on that? Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde? Is that what it's called?
Ooh, that. If you are right, you are really impressive, because I barely remembered Legally Blonde. So very good for you to remember the name of the sequel.
I like the full titles, and I like I like subtitles, because they're often silly and unnecessary. And it just feels like somebody feels like shame for making a sequel. So they have to go, but it has a title too. It's not just, you know, it's not just the second one. It's Red, White, and Blonde. Come on. You know, Tony, what do you think? What's a political movie in your mind that people would enjoy?
You know, it's one of my favorites of all time is Election.
Another Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, just keeping it going. But she is so funny in that movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, Alexander Payne is definitely, he's a hero of mine.
He made one of those kind of streaks of movies that, you know, very few filmmakers accomplish it in terms of the quality. He had like four or five in a row there that I thought were really good. And even when he makes something that's not great, or at least that I don't love, I see the thought that went into it, you know, and that he really puts a lot into his movies. But Election really holds up, just because it just is such a, like a high school election. Who doesn't have, you know, school elections? Who doesn't have experience with that? And, you know, with Matthew Broderick as the teacher, and all the whole cast was really well put together, and just also just super funny movie.
And it matters so much to the character. You get really invested. I was gonna say like The Post or something, but I'm just, you know, there's something about a medium stakes political story that really grabs me.
I think I was alone on I felt alone on The Post when that movie came out, because I really loved it. But I think I mostly loved it just because I'm, you know, an idiot when it comes to a lot of these stories, these things that happened with, you know, the fact that The Post did that brave thing and, you know, stood up to American government. I find that movie very entertaining. It's strange.
I feel like people slept on that. You know, there's that's a genre of movie, like Spotlight, or they just did She Said, and the report of like the All the President's Men, of like journalists breaking a big story. Yeah.
It's a quality movie, and it's very entertaining. Yeah, Bob Odenkirk's got a pretty sizable role in it, and I found it very enjoyable, and I find that when Spielberg goes that way and does that sort of thing, I think he does a good job with it. I'm kind of over some of his other genres that he's done a few times, but I always like those. Katie, do you have one for? Thanks, Tony. Katie, do you have something in mind here?
Okay. Well, my first thought was, oh my God, no, I don't. But then I was like, hearing the choices, I'm like, okay, does the interview count with Seth Rogen? Because that
it
just came to mind like right away.
It does. That movie, I thought that movie was super fun and smart and of the moment. And it really, you know, I don't know if history's going to go back and discover it in any big way, but it got kind of, you know, it got fairly screwed over by the fact that it genuinely became a dangerous movie to put out, you know, that they Seth Rogen really had to deal with like genuine real life death threats and stuff. And
well, that's what fascinates me about it, is like less of the movie and more of like all the behind the scenes drama of trying to get that movie out. And it's just wild to hear about.
Yeah. And to know that Seth Rogen was like probably high when all of this was happening to him. It's really, it's either impressive or it makes sense that he would need that to just calm down and get through it. All right. So we have the interview, election, and Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde. Terrific recommendations all. And we're going to play some games after this break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and our first game today that we're going to play is something I call Magic Mike Wachowski. Wazowski. I wrote his name down wrong. Mike was, it's Wazowski, right? I think
sure,
so.
I have no idea.
Basically, here's how this game works. Magic Mike 3, whatever that's called, The Last Dance, is in theaters now. And of course, everybody loves the Monsters, Inc. franchise. So I'll say a fact, and you have to tell me if it applies to the Magic Mike movies or the Monsters, Inc. films. You see, I already made that distinction there. I call Magic Mike, I call those movies, but I call the Monsters, Inc. films.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So it's either Magic Mike, Monsters, Inc., or neither is the answer to each question. So on the first one, I'll tell the fact to Katie, and then you guess between those three things, Magic Mike, Monsters, Inc., or neither. If Katie misses, then we go to Sarah, and it's narrowed down to two choices, which makes it easier. And if you miss, then Tony just gets the gimme point because, you know, he's third. In line, so for going third, at least he has a chance at a point for doing nothing. And every time someone gets one right, then the next one will start with the next guest and go from there. Any questions?
I don't think so.
Got it. I'm ready.
Okay. All right, Katie, you got this first one. It's either Magic Mike, Monsters, Inc., or neither. Has a character in it named Stink Butt.
Oh, that's got to be Monsters, Inc.
It has to be?
I mean, God, now, if it's Magic Mike, I have questions then how he got that nickname. Oh, shoot. I'm gonna go with Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, you want to go with Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
What a...
Sorry, that's incorrect. Sorry, Sarah. Not from Monsters, Inc. Is it from Magic Mike or neither?
I'm going to say neither.
That is the correct answer.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Sarah Tiana.
Katie, that's what I would have guessed too. You were on the right track. I...
Right. These things are, you know, they're supposed to be tricky. And sometimes they actually are. Tony. Sarah got that point, so you get to go first on this next one. Are you ready? Has Donald Glover in it? And of course, when I say in it, I mean, you know, for animated films, it'd be voiceover. Donald Glover appears in a Magic Mike movie, a Monsters, Inc. movie, or neither?
Is Tony Googling it?
Is this for me? I thought it was Sarah going first because she won the last one.
No, you go first because you're next. You get to go first because you didn't even get a play in that first one.
All right. So I don't see Childish Gambino being in a Magic Mike movie, but he's a friend of the Disney family. So I'll go Monsters, Inc.
That's incorrect. Katie. Man. Donald Glover from ATL. Is he in Magic Mike or neither?
I'm going to say he is.
He is.
Is in Magic Mike?
Is in it. Sorry. Is in Magic Mike.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
It's because of the way Doug asked you. Like, are you sure, idiot? Like,
and last time I didn't take it.
Like, teasing you.
Yeah, no, I give people the chance to talk themselves out of a correct answer. Because that's always fun. And but you were right, Katie. Donald Glover is in a Magic Mike movie.
Is he one of the dancers?
Much to Tony's chagrin.
Which one?
Let me tell you, Magic Mike 2. XXL, they call it, is it's out of control because they're on tour. They're in a tour bus, the Magic Mike crew, the dancers, and they stop at like a mansion in Louisiana somewhere. Mm-hmm. And Jada Pinkett Smith is in charge of the place. So it's already, you know, pretty tight operation, pretty serious. And then Donald Glover is a spoken word stripper. He does like a little like poem speech kind of thing while acting sexy in like in more of a close-up manner, like in a parlor inside of a house. And he might also be a prostitute. I don't remember exactly what goes down there.
And, but, and yeah. Surprisingly, that part is less awkward than Michael Strahan's part.
I forgot about Strahan.
Yeah.
He's in the sequel too?
He's in XXL. Man. He was not in the new one, I don't think. I think he finally said no to a project or they didn't ask.
I think this new one, they were kind of save some money on the cast because it's Channing Tatum, Selma Hayek,
Salma.
And that's it. No, there's no other recognizable name in the cast as far as I, you know, from my perspective.
I've so heard XXL is super fun.
It's very good. It's very good.
I love the first one. I do think it's a film and not a movie. The first one, Magic Mike.
You do?
Yeah, it's like the Soderbergh Nights. Yeah. I loved it.
Okay.
But I guess not enough to see the sequel.
Maybe I've always been a little raw about the first Magic Mike because I had to see it with my mother. And
yeah,
because I'd always take my mother to see whatever she wanted to see. And she's like, I want to see Magic Mike. I was like, oh, God, yeah. And then, you know, so it was kind of weird watching it with my mom. Watching Matthew McConaughey roll around while women grabbing his crank. But then Magic Mike 2 comes out and I'm like hunkered down. I'm like, Mom, all right, I'll see it if you want to. And she goes, no, I'm good.
She like, didn't want to see you either.
She thought the Magic Mike story was fully, you know, was told fully in that first film. And that the adventure did not need to continue. But I think it does. I think it might fall into my theory that most film franchises that can't pass two of them that make, you know, two or more. I find I like the second one the best more often than not. Especially when there's three. For some reason, they get right in the groove on that middle one. And then by the third one, they something gets lost. Of course, I'm talking about Star Wars. But Katie's on the board with a point, and Sarah is on the board and gets to go first on this next one. You ready?
Yeah. I have 1 point, as in dollars, that you throw at strippers. So keep going.
Okay. We might have over talked. Like sometimes we talk too much about the movies that it kind of maybe makes the questions a little easier. We'll see. We'll see if what we said earlier helps you on this one.
Okay.
The series of films, in the case of Monsters, Inc., it's two movies. In the case of Magic Mike, it's three. In the series has had two directors. Is that Magic Mike or Monsters, Inc., or neither?
Magic Mike.
And why do you say that?
Because I thought you said Soderbergh did the first one, and I vaguely remember that, and I know he definitely did not do the second or the third.
Well,
I mean, I don't
figured...
know definitely.
Right, yeah, we can't be too certain, but I'm going to call it and say that you nailed it. that is correct, because... Woo! Soderbergh directed the first one, but then was only the DP. Like he actually ran the camera on the second one. And I think the third one as well. They're directed by a dude that came in named Gregory Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm guessing it comes more from a dance background or something. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, you need to run the camera. Yeah. You have to have at least one hand free when you're filming Magic Mike. I'm sure that's probably the rule.
Right.
I went to see a Magic Mike XXL with a bunch of female comics and gay male comics at the Grove. And we all had, I gave everyone dollar bills. And after Joe Manganiello, Manganiello's like dance scene in the gas station, the entire audience stood up and applauded like at one. Like it wasn't slow. Like everyone just jumped up. It was one of the greatest movie experiences of my life. So,
do you remember what his character's called?
What is his? Oh no, I don't remember, because I just remember Tarzan in that one having the weird name. But
he's Big Dick Ritchie.
Oh yeah, Big Dick Ritchie. Yeah, BDR. Yeah,
which is like Big Dick Dick. Big rich.
Yeah.
Which I never understood the leap from Richard to Dick, but it happens.
Well, I think Manganiello has BDE. You know, he has definite Big Dick energy. So I think that tracks for me.
Yeah, they also had that, didn't they have a footage of them using a giant penis pump device?
Oh, yeah. In the
backstage.
Backstage, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's what I was going to say about Monsters, Inc., is they didn't have two directors, because over the course of those two movies, they had four. The first Monsters, Inc. was directed by three people, and then the second one, Monsters University, some guy took care of that all on his own.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, Sarah, you have 2 points now, and Tony, it's up to you again now to even just get in the game here.
Yeah, I got to get on the board.
You can do it. And speaking of boards, here's the fun fact. Has a board game based on it? Is that Magic Mike, Monsters, Inc., or neither?
A board game.
Based on it?
Yeah. You could play Monsters, Inc. or Magic Mike at home if they have a board game. The question is, do they?
I feel like if they don't have a Magic Mike party game, you know, they're that's malpractice and they're losing out on money. So I'm gonna go with Magic Mike.
Tony, it's like you're gifted at not getting these. You have.
By the way, that sound is also the sound of what happens when people watch Magic Mike and why they don't go back with their mothers.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Like, oh, complaining in the lobby. All those boners in there are making too much noise. Okay, so so that brings us back to Katie. And so the question is, Tony thought there should be a Magic Mike board game, but the question is there a Monsters, Inc. board game or no board game for either of these properties?
I feel like there's got to be a Monsters, Inc. board game. I'm thinking Monopoly. Like, Monopoly has a version of every movie out there, but I'm going to say yes, there is a board game inspired by Monsters, Inc.
The Monopoly thing is right on track because there's the game of life, that board game Life. Mm-hmm. There's a Monsters, Inc. version of that.
Oh, I wonder what the cards are like then. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. And then the other one is they have a second Monsters, Inc. game that's called Monsters, Inc. Memory Board. And I assume that's just like concentration or something where you have to recognize the monsters or something like that. But
makes sense.
Yeah. We've got a tie here between I'm not, you know, Tony, who the tie is.
Yeah, I'm proud of you both. You guys did great.
Yeah. So, and next up in order is Sarah. So Sarah, if you get this one right, you win this game. There's not much to win here. It's just kind of a warm up game. So don't feel too much pressure. Has a character in it named Yeti, Y-E-T-I. Is that Monsters, Mike's, or neither?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing would sound like, I mean, Yeti, and a Yeti is a monster, but I feel like that's a trick. So I'm going to say Magic Mike. Oh, I got a boner.
You fell for the trick.
There is
a character named Yeti in the Monsters, Inc. movies, and he's voiced by John Ratzenberger from Cheers, who is he's a voice in every Pixar movie, I think, except for one.
Yeah.
I think they finally kicked him to the curb on one of the last ones they did. But he's been in every other one. And so congratulations, Katie. That means you won our first game.
Wow. It's only because I'm after Tony. So thank you, Tony.
You're welcome, guys.
Yeah,
You're
give welcome. The credit to anybody you want, wherever you want. But
I'll take
basically,
it.
All you win for winning the first game in the show is you get to go first in the final game. And and in the final game today, you know, that's a little bit more involved in that game we just played. We will switch the order up. So it's going to be Katie, then Tony, then Sarah. And we'll play that game after these messages. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and Katie Thurston won nothing by winning that first game, except for the opportunity to go first in our second and winner determining game today. It's a game that I call Weird Algorithm. And it's based on a thing that happens when you go on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb. People like to call it for short. you can take any cast of any movie or TV show that's on there, and you can see the cast listing in order, you know, the credit listings, the way they normally are listed, the way they're listed like at the end of the film. But then you can click on a thing that says refine, and you can change the order to the popularity of the people involved in the movie in that moment in time. So today I went on IMDb and typed some movie titles in, and then flipped and refined the listing to have everybody in order of current popularity. And when I say current popularity, it's just whatever drives people to use the search engine on internet movie database to like find somebody or find their films or learn more about them. That's what drives the popularity index on the site. You can also just go and look at who's the most 50 most popular people right now, according to IMDb. So I'll name a movie, and then starting with Katie, and then Tony, and then Sarah, each of you will pick someone in that movie who you think would qualify as the top most popular person right now, or at least try to find somebody or name somebody that's in the top three, because the top three are all worth points. If you name somebody that's number one, you get 3 points. If you name somebody that's number two, you get 2 points. And number three is worth 1 point. But you can share answers in this game. So ultimately, you want to be a little strategic and not just say the same things as everybody else every time. But you can say the same answer if you want to. If you want to play it safe, or in some cases, you'd be maybe taking a bigger risk. I don't know. Could go in any direction. And to make this game even not easier, but just more accessible, I will not only tell you the movie and the year it came out, but then I will list a bunch of people that you can choose from that are in the movie.
So I don't have to know the names of actors, because that's really
you don't,
helpful.
You don't have to know everybody that's in it.
Thank
you
God.
Know, I might leave some out just for strategic purposes, but I should say to make it more strategic on your end, if you can think of somebody that's in the movie and popular, but that I don't say, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. Katie, you get the first one. It's a motion picture that many people disagree did not deserve to win the Best Picture Oscar back in 2004, but it's got a stacked cast, and so maybe that's why it did well with the awards. And the movie's called Crash.
Yeah, I don't think I've even seen that movie, to be honest.
Yeah, well, wait till you hear who's in it. You're going to be like, oh. And let me tell you also, I'm not endorsing that you see this movie by telling you that these people are in it. I do think it's one of the most overrated. I don't even think it's overrated. I don't think people liked it, but it's somehow one of the best.
Yeah. I don't think that's a hot take. Pretty much everybody hated that movie after 2006, I think.
The Oscars are political campaign a lot of times. So they had a lot going for them in that way, which was like they had a lot of campaigners.
Yeah, and just, this terrific cast of people that, you know, it does make you excited about it, and then you see it. So it stars Sandra Bullock, Tandy Newton, Ryan Philippe, Matt Dillon, Michael Pena, Don Cheadle, Brendan Fraser, and Tony Danza.
Okay.
Out of all of those people running around doing racist shit, it's weird. But... Katie, which one of those folks do you think is the most popular right now?
Okay, I feel bad if this is a really big award, but I feel like Brendan Fraser just either won something or had a pretty big speech recently, unless I'm totally making that up, but I'm gonna go with him.
Yeah, emphasis on the word big.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you telling me that's not the right answer? I'm gonna go with Brendan. I have no idea.
No, that's a perfectly reasonable guess to say Brendan Fraser. Because he has, he did not win last night. The BAFTAs in England were last night, and he did not win that. It went to Austin Butler for Elvis.
Oh,
yeah. So he's got to watch out for him at the Oscars. I thought it was just between Brendan and Colin Farrell for the Oscar this year, but this late win from Austin Butler might signify something. All right, Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I think everybody's talking about The Whale, right? And going, yeah. I just IMDb'd Brendan Fraser like the other night because we were.
Oh, so you're part going of the through problem.
His, yeah. So, you know, it might be cowardly of me, but I'm just going to steal Katie's answer.
Yeah, you could steal her answer. And also, you don't have to lock it in just yet. You can wait and see what Sarah has to say. And then I'll reconfirm with everybody what they want to go with. So, Sarah, do you agree with them about Brendan Fraser, or do you want to take a chance on somebody else?
I definitely agree with them, but I'm always going to choose Sandy Bullock. Sandy.
That's just how you are. If she's an option.
That's just who I am. If she's an option, she's my choice.
Yeah, every time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of blindsided by that piece of information.
Ah, great movie. Again, sports. One of my favorite theme in movies is Black people rising above through extracurricular activities. That is one of my favorite genres of a movie. Yeah. And The Blind Side fits that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not as good as Remember the Titans, but yes.
What do you think of that little kid in that movie?
In Blind Side?
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
Okay.
You didn't like him? Are you going to say you don't like a kid actor?
Yeah. I mean, it happens, unfortunately. I found him very annoying, but I looked him up recently on IMDb, and the roles aren't like rolling in necessarily, but I think he's still at it.
Well, it's like, remember that kid in Love Actually that was like kind of stole the movie, and like now he's in Game of Thrones. Like he was in Game of Thrones, and like he did fine.
Yeah, no, he shows up in like he's in Queen's Gambit, and
Queen's Gambit, yeah,
yeah. And he always has like a little mustache because he still looks like he's 14 years old.
He still looks like the truth is I'm in love. And you're like, yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, so to play adult characters, he has to mustache up.
I feel like so often bad kid actors get a free pass because a critic doesn't want to punch down at a child actor. So I'm glad you're not playing by those rules.
Well, I gotta say, I might be more annoyed by the fact that what was his name in it, Sarah? Was it like JP or something like that?
Oh, in Love Actually?
No, in Blind Side. We're talking about the Blind Side kid now, the one that I don't like.
Oh yeah, no, it is that like
it's LP or JP or
it's two letters that you would never or LJ or something like that.
It's a terrible choice to call somebody.
Yeah,
by
you're like
admissions.
These. Nobody calls anybody LJ for short. Like nobody, like even LeBron James. Like people aren't like LJ. Like nobody says that.
Yeah, so that was. So maybe I didn't dislike him as much as I disliked everyone calling him by his initials.
Now you're walking it back. I think it happens all the time where I'm like, oh, this kid is definitely detracting from the movie, but nobody's gonna say it.
Well, you know, famously the Rotten Tomatoes honored Jake Lloyd from the Star Wars prequels. The first prequel, and everybody that was all up in arms like, he's just a kid, he can't help it if he's terrible, but you know, he was terrible. So that's the bottom line.
We were mean to that kid though, I guess.
Yeah, people were awful to him. I guess people were worse to Jar Jar Binks. All right, so even though we have the great Tony Danza involved and some other amazing actors, Katie and Tony would like to choose Brendan Fraser, and Sarah's going with Sandra Bullock. Is everybody good with those answers?
I am.
Yeah, okay. I'm keeping.
Coming in, I like to read off the top three, make it, you know, suspenseful. Coming in at number three is Thandie Newton. Who now has an extra, his spelling slightly different. It's T-H-A-N-I or D-I-W-E. There's a W in there now, and it's pronounced differently, and I don't want to screw it up, but Fendiwe or something like that. But she says it's always been that, but she just went with Andy just to make it easier for, you know, dumb white movie executives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, number two. Sandy Bullock came in at number two. So, Sarah, you get 2 points for that. And, of course, we started with an easy one. Of course, Brendan Fraser is a real popular thing to look up at this time because he is poised to possibly win. It's his first Oscar nomination and therefore also could be his first win for The Whale. So, Brendan Fraser is worth 3 points. So, Katie has three. Tony has three. Sarah has two. Tony, you got to go first on this next one. From 2021, super recent, the second time they got together a Suicide Squad and called it The Suicide Squad with Margot Robbie, John Cena, Idris Elba, Viola Davis, Taika Waititi, Pete Davidson, friends of this show, like Steve Agee, David Desmalchin, and Sean Gunn and Michael Rooker. I'm listing a bunch of too many names. Tony, what do you think?
Was Will Smith in that one? Or was
no, that
just
was
the
other one. That was right. The first one. He was sort of kind of, in a way, replaced by Idris Elba in the... in the James Gunn one.
Well, I think she was in a couple movies this year that were both okay. I'll go with Margot Robbie, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so then now we go to... I flipped the order around, right?
Yeah, Katie started because she won the first round, right?
Right. And then, Katie, then Tony, then you. So, yeah, so Tony, Sarah, go.
I like the Margot Robbie answer, but I think I'm going to go Viola Davis just because I feel like she's in more and she has a longer history of movies. So I feel like what you're saying presently, but... That movie that she was in, the most recent one.
The Woman King?
The Woman King. A lot of people went to see that. Like
It was very popular, and people were mad she didn't get the Oscar nomination. They think that a couple of white actresses pushed her out unfairly.
Yes. I think I'm going to go her just because I like Viola Davis. So I'm going to pick her.
What do you think, Katie?
So I was thinking like relevancy regardless of work, and I feel like I've been hearing Pete Davidson's name a lot, but more just like in the pop culture circles, so I feel like people are searching him a lot lately.
He was in a Super Bowl ad and he was at the Pro Bowl.
And he's dating like all these hot women and people are trying to ship them. And I mean, I don't know. He's very searchable right now, I think.
It's so funny that that Super Bowl commercial where they're in the refrigerator of Brie Larson and John Hamm and then Pete Davidson shows up. That commercial like tripped me out because I know all three of them like individually. I met them all in different ways. And they've all been guests on this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, three of the best, biggest guests I've ever had, of course, but still. And
you mean not us?
On at the same time. Well, you know, there's always, after those three lame-os, there's always room for improvement. Okay, so you're going to say, so Katie's going with Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
All right. Now let's double check with everybody. Sarah, you're still good with Viola?
Yeah, I don't like to change my answer, but I think Katie's right.
And Tony, you like Margot still?
I'll stick with Margot, although Pete is very searchable.
Right? Yeah, like who's he dating now? that one Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh, God, with Eric Andre.
The picture with Eric Andre.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, oh, my God.
Eric Andre's never been on this podcast because there's nothing to break. There's nothing to flip over or set on fire or put his naked balls on. All right. So coming in at number three for the Suicide Squad, kind of a trick that I threw in there just for the hell of it, in case anybody remembered. Sylvester Stallone is the voice of King Shark in that movie. And our friend Steve Agee played King Shark on the actual set. And then at number two, Viola Davis.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. And Tony didn't have to babble on and on about Margot's career this year because, of course, she was in Babylon. And Tony gets 3 points for Margot Robbie being number one. And I'm sorry, Katie, Pete Davidson did not place in the top three for that one.
Wow, that's shocking.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's shocking.
That's why it's called Weird Algorithm. You never know what's going to happen. All right, so it's still anybody's game. And this third movie is the first in a series of films that the third one is in theaters now. It's called Quantumania. But we're talking about the original from 2015, Ant-Man, starring Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, Bobby Cannavale, Anthony Mackie, Michael Pena, David Desmalchin again. So, Sarah, what do you think?
From Ant-Man? Oh my God, I have not. Sorry, guys, I have not seen it. Don't tell Paul.
Are you just not a Marvel person in general, or did you just that?
Yeah,
particular...
no, not it. I don't know if I've ever seen. I mean, I'm sure I've seen one, but I definitely don't remember the last time I saw one. I do Big Slick with Paul Rudd every year, and I know that they're very popular because every time he brings out Captain America's shield that's signed by everyone, he gets. You know, we get a lot of money for it. So I know that they're very popular, obviously. baseball.
But tell everybody what Big Slick is.
Oh, Big Slick is a big charity for the Children's Hospital of Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City. And so all the hosts are Paul Rudd, Rob Riggle, Eric Stone Street, Jason Sudeikis. This year, Heidi Gardner's doing it. Let's see, Riggle, Stoney, Sudeikis. Keckner. So it's like,
yes,
it's quite the, yes, we go, we play a celebrity softball game, and they always get my name wrong, or they think I'm like Marilyn Raskob or something. And so it's very fun. And then, but I end up doing stand up at the big finale show, and we raise a lot of money, and it's very good.
That's great.
Yes. But Paul is always bringing in Ant-Man stuff. And I'm like, I wouldn't even have known it was in the room. Like, I wouldn't, like, they're like, oh, make sure nobody touches this. And I'm like, what? Touches what?
That stupid what shield? What is that?
Why? Like, why do you have, is that for a bit? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Now,
you
know, my son loves Captain America and Spider-Man. So I'm like getting more into it because I'm reading these books. But I have a real problem with secret identities in male characters. So I don't think that superheroes speak a lot to me. Because like it when men don't admit who they are. Katie, back me up.
I support everything Sarah says.
But long story long, I will say Paul Rudd. I'll say Paul Rudd.
And our buddy Sam Levine is always there every year, right?
Oh, yes. Sam Levine playing poker. Yes, him and yes, Kevin Spacey. This year, Richard Pine, the whole time, he's like grilling Kevin Spacey, not Kevin Spacey, Kevin Pollak. He's Spacey was busy. At the hospital,
busy not being invited to anything.
Yeah, but Richard kind of kept like grilling Kevin Pollak about playing poker. He's like, why do you play in these big tournaments in Vegas? Don't what do you do when you're not winning? Don't people just ask you about Tom Cruise? Like, it's just, it was very fun. Anyway, I'll shut up. Paul Rudd.
Okay. So, Katie, what do you think?
So I'm going with Paul Rudd, but for just a very random reason. And it was because I saw a clip of him and his son after the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So it just feels like a very viral trending moment. So I'm going to go with Paul.
Very good call.
I like that. I like that as a reason. Tony, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I went out of order. But, you know, like I said, everybody can share and switch their answers. Are you on the Paul Rudd train here, or do you think somebody else has a chance?
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious because he's Mr. Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm such a big Eagles fan. I'm in mourning.
That you can't maybe say I'll his just, name.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be Paul Rudd. But who'd you say? Bobby Cannavale? Who's
Cannavale is like always
endlessly fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So... just because I can't give the Chiefs another win, I'll go with Bobby.
Oh, you want to go with Bobby?
Yeah, I just want to. I can't do it. I can't be on the Kansas City side of things right now.
Okay.
You could go Anthony Mackie. He's a New Orleans Saints fan, and they don't have anything to celebrate. So.
Oh, would you?
And he's a superhero too, right? Isn't he one of the superheroes?
He's what do you call it? Flying around guy.
Falcon.
Yeah.
Falcon.
Did I know that? Oh my god, I knew that.
Good. Yeah, you know your stuff.
Can't trick me.
So Tony's going with Bobby Cannavale. And Sarah and Katie, you're sticking with Mr. Rudd?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Coming in at number three, it's another sneaky one, and you almost kind of mentioned him, Sarah. Chris Evans makes an appearance.
Oh.
Yeah, him and Sebastian Stan both show up, so they're three and four. And then coming in at number two is Mr. Paul Rudd.
Okay.
So he's worth 2 points for Katie and for Sarah. Leaving number one, and this one I picked intentionally because it's a shocker, Evangeline Lilly.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And just a lot of Lost holdouts? Like, people just love Lost that much?
No, people are just wondering where she's going to be with the whole Marvel universe because she's such an anti-vaxxer.
Right, yeah. I was like, so are they Googling her for other reasons, for like, Jenny McCarthy reasons. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the old Jenny McCarthy reason. So we have an exciting finish. I'm sorry to say, Katie, you came in third with 5 points, but Sarah and Tony each got 6 points in that game. So that means we have to do a quick tiebreaker between the two of them to determine our winner today. Nobody wins anything, really. You just get invited back to the show quicker.
So we should try to lose?
That's what I was thinking.
I'm sure that's a zillion times.
If you're really busy and you don't want to do this again, just throw it. So between Sarah and Tony, Tony is... Sarah goes first and then Tony. So if Sarah gets a name higher on this cast list than you, Tony, she wins. But you each get to name a name and you have to do separate names. You can't pick the same person, but Sarah gets to go first. Mm-hmm. Opening this Friday. Yes, we're doing a movie. It's not even open yet. It's a motion picture called Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yes.
Which I enjoy thinking about probably as much as I would enjoy actually watching. You know, like once you see it, it's probably like, yeah, it's a bear that's on a rampage because it did cocaine. But To break the tie, I want you to guess which one of these actors is higher on the popularity index from the cast of Cocaine Bear, which stars Ray Liotta, Carrie Russell, Margot Martindale, Alden Ehrenreich, who was he played young Han Solo in one of the Star Wars pictures, and Matthew Rhys, who is Carrie Russell's real life significant other, and the two of them co-starred in The Americans together on FX, and also in the film is O'Shea Jackson Jr., who is could have gone by Ice Cube Jr., but that doesn't sound great to have Jr. after a nickname.
OJJ.
A rap name, if you will. Yeah. Okay, so Sarah, go ahead and pick. Which one of those people do you think is number one?
Man, well, obviously, like, Liotta just passed, and so, like, that's pretty Googleable and zeitgeisty, but I honestly feel like O'Shea is, like, much more star rising kind of guy and super Googleable, especially with his dad, but also he's a big Lakers guy and it's basketball season. And so I'm going to say O'Shea.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, yeah, you pick one, I'll pick the other. Those were my two too. So the late great Ray Liotta, were people Googling him?
Who was great in Blackbird, by the way. Did you see Blackbird?
I haven't seen it, but that's, you know, it's up. I don't know if, I think he had like five things in the can when he passed. So, like, we're still going to see more Ray Liotta stuff, which is great because he was great. But here's how it broke down. I'll tell you the top five. Fifth place was Matthew Rhys. He's also Perry Mason on the new show. Oh, yeah. HBO. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then that guy Alden Ehrenreich, he was number four. Three was Margot Martindale. I don't know what else she's got going, but she's been in that show The Watcher that's been popular on Netflix because it's so weird and dumb. And then Carrie Russell came in at number two.
Oh, and goodness.
Yeah, O'Shea was a no-show in the top five.
Oh.
Number one was, of course, the late great Ray Liotta. Congratulations,
Tony.
You did it.
You did it.
You took it down. You won the game today against all odds, against tremendous.
Yeah, what a roller coaster.
Really. You seemed down the entire game, and then suddenly a phoenix rising from the ashes. So you get to plug your stuff first. What would you like to promote?
I would check out Players. It's available on iTunes. You can follow me on socials, Tony Ascenda. But yeah. Oh, and Dave, season three of Dave on Hulu and FX comes out in April, and that's going to be a really fun season.
Oh man,
you're just a fan.
Oh, no, I direct on that show.
You have to direct Santino?
Oh, yeah. It's he's one of the funniest people alive. But, yeah, it's a nightmare to direct him.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. I'm just wondering if you can get a word in edgewise. But he's one of my favorite people in the world. But
he'll listen to me. He just doesn't, you know, respect me. It's that. That's kind of our relationship.
Oh yeah. Well, all right, that tracks. That tracks.
Thank you, Tony. Sarah, Tiana, what would you like to promote?
So my new special 44 is out right now. 44, because that was Hank Aaron's number and my age when I recorded it. And yeah, it's on Moment House right now. Currently, you can watch it at moment.com, and then it'll come out somewhere else after that, hopefully on YouTube. So the Comedy Store made it. We shot it there. It's only half an hour, so there you go.
Awesome. Well, we'll try to get you back real soon as a returning champion. And but making a great first appearance today, Katie Thurston. What, I know you don't have any more comedy dates, but where can people get on your social so they can track what you're up to?
Yeah, it's The Katie Thurston on Instagram. That's where I will announce upcoming shows. They do sell out pretty quickly, so if you're interested, send me a DM and I'll make sure you get on the list.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And if you're a Bachelor fan, they're really fun shows because there's a lot of Bachelor humor in these specials. So good times.
Oh, okay. I see. That's good. You know, you obviously have some choices there about how much you're going to talk about The Bachelor. And so that's nice to hear that it comes up for the people who want to hear about it.
Look, NDAs don't exist when there's no cameras or recording, so it's a good time.
Oh, you tell them, Katie.
I didn't know that's how NDAs worked. I thought you had to be quiet all the time, like even in the privacy of your own home. Doug Loves Movies is going to be back at the Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles on Sunday, March 5th. And all of my dates, as I sprinkle in more stand-up and Doug Loves Movies out on the road this spring and summer, are at DougLovesMovies.com. That's DougLovesMovies.com. What a fun hour. That went by so fast. Thank you so much, Katie Thurston, Sarah Tiana, and Tony Ascenda.
And thank you, Doug.
As always, give up. Let's go.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Intercept.
Okay, folks, sorry I'm late. This is a big day. Let's begin.
Director, I apologize, but it seems like we may need more time before we're able to fully debrief.
We've already waited 6 months.
Mr. Pringle is right. At the risk of sounding crass, let's cut the crap. This was a $5 billion mission that took 5 years to complete. Taxpayers and people around the world are running out of patience, and frankly, so am I. Do we have the intel or not?
Sir, it seems as though our subject is not attaining the faculties necessary to deliver the intel. He hasn't quite regained his pre-mission mental acuity.
What does that mean exactly?
Are you saying we spent $5 billion to send an idiot to collect data on a new planet?
That's enough. Now clearly, that is not what we are saying. The man has a PhD from MIT in astrophysics. What is it exactly we are saying?
Sir, he's just not ready. We need more time to get him reacclimated. Something in the atmosphere.
If we just had a bit more time, we can isolate and understand what it is that is...
There won't be any more time. We need this data now.
But, sir...
That's that. Please bring in Dr. Bendel.
Hey, everybody.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bendel. I'm afraid we're a bit pressed for time to do introductions, but please take a seat.
Oh, that's okay. I always have time for introductions, especially if it's meeting a pretty lady.
We've met many times. Please don't kiss my hand.
Okay, but can I at least smell it?
No, you may not. Please take a seat, doctor.
Ooh, someone has something to hide about the way their hand smells. It's cool. It's cool. And who are you, dude?
I'm Professor Lee from Cambridge. Please take a seat, sir. Ow! Ow! Don't grab my hair!
Okay, dude. Just checking that it's real. Thought it might be a piece. I like your teeth.
Thank you, you idiot.
Please, we do not have time for this. Dr. Bendel, you visited Kepler-452b at a great expense to our taxpayers, and those of our allies. What can you tell us about this world? Is there potential for human life?
Do you mean other people there getting it on? Not that I saw, but I was only there for a couple days. Am I right?
That is not what I meant.
Hit it, dude.
I think he wants you to high-five him.
I'm aware. I don't think it's appropriate in this situation.
Oh, I like your accent, dude. Not putting it away until you hit it. Maybe down under? Kind of soft, but I guess I'll allow it. Are there any snacks in here?
Dr. Bendel, are you aware of your current conduct? Is there any chance you can pull it together a bit?
dude, I zipped up my hoodie. You want me to do my taxes or comb my hair like this, bozo?
Hey, really?
Can you at least remove your sunglasses?
No problem, dude, but don't steal them.
Good Lord, why are his eyes so bloodshot? Has this man been drinking?
He looks like he got pink eye directly from a baboon's asshole.
It seems as though there was a gaseous element in the atmosphere of 452B that we hadn't detected.
Something undetectable did this?
That's what she said. Am I right?
It was insignificant. It wasn't even appearing in our initial tests. Only after drawing his blood were we able to detect it.
And what does this element have to do with anything?
Well, sir, it's made him like this. I don't quite know how to phrase it.
Some people are calling it cool juice, but that's just like narcs and stuff. Anyway, how are we looking on those snacks?
Mr. Benda, we'll have the snacks in a moment. In spite of your current state, are you able to offer your thoughts on whether this planet would make a logical target were we to attempt to sort of rehome humanity?
You mean like a puppy?
In a way, yes.
That depends, man. Did this puppy tear up every resource in its previous home, pee all over everything, overpopulate its crate, and set its water on fire?
I suppose I see your point, but what if this puppy was going to have far fewer friends at the new home?
Oh, man, am I getting neutered? Wait, am I the puppy? Or you're the puppy? You'd be a cool puppy, dude.
Thank you. Can you remember how it felt as you approached 452B, as you entered the atmosphere?
If you want to know why people chase the dragon, it's probably to chase that feeling. It was like floating and then living inside a cloud. A cool cloud with like really chill vibes and cool music on the background. A guy named Michaela who just hangs out and plays bass, never wears shoes, but he has cool feet. Everyone has diamond for eyes, but they never sell them or no one steals them because that would be, you know, just rude.
So possibly this is some sort of natural barrier the planet has established.
Are you suggesting that this is the thorn to this planet's rose? This element is protecting the planet from inhabitation.
Swimmer. Inhabitation. That's a nice way to refer to a hostile takeover.
Well, people in Dr. Bendel's condition certainly aren't going to establish a new civilization.
Are you suggesting my wang doesn't twang? Because it definitely does, dude.
I will literally have sex with you right now if you can muster the energy.
Okay, baby, brace for impact, but maybe we get those snacks going first.
Sir, I understand what you are suggesting.
Could we potentially divert this gas or siphon it out?
Or burn it off?
Oh, good. We're not even there yet. We've already set their outer atmosphere ablaze. I mean, I hope we do. You all would be way more fun in that situation.
Is that something you know? What can you tell us about this element, the gas?
It's everywhere, man. It would be like trying to live on one of us, but making sure we never sweat or breathe out. It just emanates from every possible source imaginable. The animals breathe it out, the plants emit it, even the water evaporates it.
Sir, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
The opportunity for habitation does not seem feasible. The cost of removing the gas is too prohibitive.
Precisely, sir. The cost of removing it is high. But the value of harvesting it and bringing it back here...
To become intergalactic drug dealers, is that what you're suggesting?
The government selling drugs to its own citizens to finance a project? What an original idea.
We're gonna need resources if we're ever gonna escape this flaming trash heap.
I certainly wasn't expecting this outcome from this meeting.
And you also weren't expecting me to be wearing a wire. That's right, I'm a narc, bad guys, and you're all going to bad guy jail. Give me my sunglasses. I knew you'd try to steal them. Shame on all of you. Only just learned about a new resource and you already can't wait to exploit it. You haven't learned a thing. You don't deserve that gas, and you'll never get it anyway. It's too unstable to transport, and it can only be consumed while visiting the planet. Otherwise, it breaks down. You could encourage education, expose kids to the wonder of space travel and seeing new horizons and literal new worlds, but instead you'd rather sell drugs to them here. Shame on you. You haven't changed at all. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to look for those snacks. Ms. Tabor, if you'd like to honor our deal, I'll be just down the hall.
Not even remotely.
You're lost because I'm good at intercoursing.
I'm coming with you.
Cartoon hair guy, excellent. but let's hold off on the intercourse.
Deal. I'll find the snacks.
So long, jerks. Thank you for the greatest trip of my or anyone's life. I'm sorry you won't get to go and ruin a perfect planet. Perhaps while you're all in this room together, you can figure out a way to save this one. Okay, Elvis Pretzley, let's go find those snacks.
I'll be your hound dog, sir.
We have to kill him, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Without question.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car right in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.